Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. How many were here Christmas Eve? Christmas Eve, we had, we were just 20-some chairs without putting out new chairs of being packed out with the chairs that we had. I mean, it was just a full service. We were so blessed for that to happen. That's going to be more the common thing. Is it's just going to get busier and busier. Although today you're probably like, what happened to everybody? But it's all good. Not what we see, but what we believe. And it is the last Sunday of the year and all of that. I do have, if Ron, is that video loaded for Chad? Yeah, let's check out this video because you really don't want to miss these two services, Saturday and Sunday, the 25th and 26th.
Because I'm no longer the sinner who's connected to it. I'm connected to the vine, and through the vine, there is no disease, there is no sickness, there is no death. It is a flow of the life of God. It was a promise. You'll never be sick another day in your life, because I'm your healer. I'm now your doctor. Come on, guys, think about it. The Israelites, all they knew was the medicine and the witchcraft and the sorcery and the occult of Egypt. That's all they knew. They didn't know God like we know God.
Tell you what, that's what I want. I don't know if that's what you want. I don't ever want to be sick again. Isn't it amazing? We read that in the Old Testament, how they all left and there were no sick or feeble among them. Nothing wore out. All those things were happening to Egypt, but not in Goshen. They weren't happening there. I'm like, God, I want that. I want that. And what we're doing and what we've been preaching is about retraining our thinking. If God is the same and he doesn't change and it's his will for us to be well, man, I'm not saying the enemy isn't going to attack. He does. I'm just saying as soon as, I don't know about you, but when I get attacked, I'm on that like white on rice. I'm just like, okay. And so, you know, and sometimes that just, the enemy, obviously he does that, but we have to make our stand. I know if you like making stands, I mean, I'd rather not have to make a stand, so to speak, but it doesn't always happen that way, does it? Sometimes you got to stand up and say, okay, you want to dance? We're going to dance, and you're not going to like it. And so I'm excited to be able to preach the word and to be able to tell you the truth. And these things I'm finding out as I seek the Lord and as he does so many great things. Let me just give you some things that I'm excited about 2025. Well, you know, for myself, 2025, anybody in here besides me set goals? I set goals. I like to be a goal setter. Do I keep them all the time? Yes. No, I don't. Them all the time. I try, you know, I keep part of them, you know, that kind of stuff. Everybody, New Year's resolutions are usually done before January's over. Not me. I do, I'm a little more disciplined than that. But, you know, I've been through a lot of stuff, and I'm sure you have. But I'm like, okay, God, what do you want from me in 2025? What can I do, you know, to be right where I need to be for what you've called me to do? And so, I've got some mandates on my life, not just for the church, but to be able to fulfill the things for the church. I got to get myself ready. How many have ever known that? For you to take care of your kids, you got to take care of yourself. You know, on an airplane, if those masks fall down, you know what they'll tell you? As a parent, you'll be like, I got to give that oxygen to my kids. And they'll say, put it on you. And give yourself, because you can't help your kids if you're not there. So, you know, that's no fun to think of, but I'm just saying we have to do, God, show me what you want me to do. Show me how I can do the things that you've called me to do. I can fulfill that because the enemy wants to stop us. Now, I'm not just talking me. He wants to stop you, the ministry that you have. You have a ministry. Maybe it's not behind the pulpit or whatever, but it's still a ministry. So in these next 2 weeks, we're going to talk about what we say. We're going to start off 2025. We're going to start today. And next week, we're going to talk about our words. But before we get started, let's say hi to our online campus. God bless you guys that are watching us live. And my advice, you know, sometimes we have some complaints that Facebook shuts me off a lot. Okay. Don't watch me on Facebook then. Go to the website, truelifemarian.com. They can't shut me off. That's why we did that. Because if we say anything that is not politically correct according to them or whatever, they just mute it, or and people come in and go, there's no volume. Well, it's not because our sound guys don't know what they're doing. It's just because things like that happen. But anyways, you can do it however you'd like. We're glad you're watching no matter where you watch us at. But we want to talk about our words. I want to talk about our words. So this one, basically, speak to your future. Speak to your future. What we're saying is molding our lives. I didn't realize how important this was until the Lord began to show me. And it's backed up by, there are a lot of scripture that talk about what you say. Are we in faith? Or are we visiting with Rod Sterling and we're in the Twilight Zone? You know, there's a lot of times we just, I don't know that we know. Sometimes we say things and we don't really think about what we say. I'm guilty of that. Words have power. This year is coming, this new year, 2025, is coming fast. What we're doing here, and these are the things I want you to get excited about, Ohio Edison has promised to put lights in our parking lot. Yes. So actually at night, you ladies and stuff, when you're going out to your car, you might be able to see it. And our security, you know, doesn't have to actually, we have our security. They go out and walk the lot just to make sure there's nobody trying to, and we've had that before, where people are kneeling down and they're trying to break in cars. We're on the west side. There's a reason we're here. So anyway, you know, that's going to change. That's good. We've been in contact. We've paid an architect. He's gave us the first drawings, sent the second. I've talked to him a little bit about those in an email and said, I like it, but I want something that says we don't look like the Moose Lodge. Because everybody, they are like, True Life, where is it? They all know us by the moose. You know, Call of the Wild, okay. But I want people to be, oh, that church, oh, man. So, you know, for that to happen, we have to light things up. We have to start getting more involved, and we have to be more involved not in just the community, but just in God. Because, you know, the change happens inside us first before we can really go out. So we got to retrain our brain. We got to get ready and go, okay, God, we're going to do the things you want us to do. This next year is going to be amazing. It's coming. I'm going to give you 3 steps today that will help you change your future by just using better speech. Just talking better. That'll help change your destiny. Now, the old adage, have you ever heard this? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's stupid. I mean, sometimes I guess we learned that when we were a kid, when I was in elementary school. And I think parents probably said, you know, people are always going to say things, and that's true. We've told our kids, you know, this guy said this or this, and you have to be able to shake that off and just move forward. But part of the hope as a parent is just don't let it get you. Don't let it bother you. If they see it gets under your skin, they pour it on more, don't they? And we don't want them to fight. You know, we just want them to live life peacefully. Don't do that. Kids, do this. And you have to be able to, you know, try to help your kids and all of that. But it's not, that phrase isn't true. Anybody that's had stuff said about you, it's painful. Now, you do have to balance it. But do you know people that there could be 100 wonderful things that are happening and there's one thing that didn't happen good, and they will concentrate on the one thing. And or you could have done something really good and then just something and it'll be that thing that ruined everything. And you're just like, come on, there's got to be balance. So I get it, people are going to talk, there's going to be things said or you're going to feel this way or there's going to be situations and circumstances you don't like. So what do? Words have power. Words can hurt, words can help. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Now, that's not saying just good. That's saying you're going to eat it whether it's good or bad. So words have to be, we have to put more of our mind and our heart in what we say. The good news is this. No matter what anyone else has said to you or even what you've said about yourself, I know a situation that I grew up with that they just told this young boy, you are this and you are that. And they just spoke against him and said, you're going to be just like this. And he grew up to be just like they said, because he let those words get in and he just believed them. You know, the enemy's going to lie to you. You can believe the lie or you can put the lie down. You can break the lie, because the enemy, that's all he does. His main goal, deception. Deception and fear. Get you to believe something that's not true. Get you away from God, lie to you, and get you to act on those lies. I'm going to give you three steps again to change your future because of the words of your mouth. Here's step number one. Fill it up. I was a kid. I remember when gas, now some of you in here are going to say, I remember further back than you. Happy for you. I remember when gas was 38 cents a gallon. I remember 38 being on the line. And I remember 43 cents. And I remember when you go to a gas station when I was a kid, my dad would go to a gas station and the attendant would come out and lift your hood. Check your oil, sir. And they would wipe and clean your windows. That doesn't happen anymore. You know, I mean, because now everything, obviously, we have to. But, you know, my point is I remember just that phrase, fill it up. You know, you just go in and fill it up. Of course, how many would go, I'd fill it up if it's 38 cents a gallon. Wow. You know, if you have a big yard, you can mow your yard for 38 cents. You know, that kind of stuff. But you got to put the right words in. You can't draw out of something that's empty. Whatever is in is what's coming out. We used to have that old saying when I was in school, in middle school, I remember, garbage in, garbage out. Now that, I mean, is really, if you just put nothing but you feed on garbage, that's what comes out. You hang around people that are negative, you have a tendency to almost be more negative because it does rub off. So fill it up, put right words in your mouth. Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, or his mouth speaks. So from the very beginning in Genesis, God spoke. He used words. God said, let there be light. There was. Romans 4:17 says, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. That's in the New King James. So he calls things before they existed. He used words to see them and call them. And you and I are made in the image of God. And that's one reason the enemy hates you. Because you look like Father God. And shouldn't we be, since we, when we get born again, our spirits are identical to Christ, and Jesus said we're connected, shouldn't then we be able to do the things that Jesus, according to him, we can do what he did and better, greater. But we're not doing that because in our minds, we've been telling us different, or we've trained ourselves in the earth system where that just doesn't happen. People might get offended. We think we're God. We are not God. Just make it really clear. It is Jesus in us that does the great thing. That's how that happens. If anybody in here is, well, I'm going to use this guy as an example. Rick Gatrell's here. He's here in the front. That guy can, I don't know how many things he's fixed here in the church. I mean, from plastering the wall and tile and whatever. He can do a lot. Breaks. I may need to call you, by the way. But, I mean, he's just very useful. He's just incredible. He knows what to do because he put stuff like that in him. He learned and then he put it to use. We have so many people here like that that can do so many great things. We are made in his image, and not only God created the world, let there be light. He created the oceans and the animals, all of that stuff. But he expects you to shape your world this way. And see, we don't do that. We just read the book as it's just a story. This is like Rapunzel or something. It's just, oh, look, this happened. No, but God is saying this is more than a story. This is life. Now, we can't change the way God set it up because he set it up. They're laws and they don't change. They have to be used. We get that. But the world that you live in, because of the way he set it up, responds to words. We have the ability to choose what words we put in our heart. What words that we can use. Galatians 6:8 says, "For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit keep or reap everlasting life." So if, again, sowing is about planting, so to speak. As long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest. Everything happens planting, seed time and harvest. You put good stuff in, you harvest good stuff. You put bad stuff in, you harvest bad stuff. Make sense? So God is saying, then you have to be able to put good stuff in so you can choose the words to use. Instead of spending all your time watching secular movies. Now, I'm not saying every secular movie is bad. That's not what I'm saying. I have movies that I love. I love to watch Rocky. Absolutely. It's my favorite series of all time. Sometimes when I'm getting ready to do something and it just fires me up, I have all those set where I know right where the fight scenes, the training scenes are, and where Adrian says, "Win! I want you to win! What are we waiting for?" And then I'm like, "Yes!" Okay, that's just me. So, what I'm saying, I'm not saying all that's bad. What I'm saying is, it'll feed yourself. You can't just feed yourself stuff from the world and then expect spiritual stuff to happen. You have to, what you put in, that's what you draw from. If you go to the bank and you have a savings account, but you put nothing in it and you go to try to make a withdrawal, they're going to say, "There's no money in there." You can't withdraw from something that has nothing in it. So you have to put deposits of good things in your spirit, in your heart, in who you are, because what you are going to speak comes out of the abundance of what you put in. So I'm not going to sow to just what I want in the flesh. I'm going to sow to what God is telling me in the spirit. What are the mountains I'm facing? What is in front of me that's given me resistance? I'm going to find in the word what that is. I'm going to meditate, think about that, and sow that in so I can pull that up, because that sword is going to come out and fight when I need it. So how do you do that? How do you get good works in your heart? You spend time with God. Read your Bible. Listen to good teachings. Now I just experienced this. Because I got attacked when the enemy tries to do something with, started whacking my nose out. You ever have your nose whacked out? Where all of a sudden, out of the blue, all of a sudden you're like, "What is going on?" And you were sneezing, you're this and that. Okay, so as soon as I get any symptom of anything, I attack it. And so I attacked it, and it happened at 2 in the morning. I wake up, and all of a sudden I can't breathe very well. And you're like, "Ah." So I started attacking that, And so I was up from 2 in the morning. I didn't go back to bed. And so I started saying, "All right, in Jesus' name," I started binding. I started speaking to my nasal passages and started doing all that stuff. And they started getting better, but the thing was like it was still lingering. And so I went downstairs, and in my mind, I'm thinking, now, I'm just telling you how good somebody helps you. In my mind, I went downstairs, and I thought, "Hey, I'll find some Rocky, or I'll put something on that'll inspire me to really start fighting, And PK comes down to the basement, and so it's finished basement and all that. She comes down, and she goes, I already know I'm in for she's about to tell me something." It's almost, she might as well say, "Verily, verily." I said, she said, she said, "It might do you good to start watching some podcasts that are dealing with what you're dealing with." And I'm like, "Wish I'd have thought of that." But she's right. So I did. So I started watching Womack and started watching, which I've watched him several times before, but I needed to fill, listen to what I'm trying to tell you. I'm not telling you I did this perfect because I just told you I needed help. But I had to fill my tank back up because unfortunately, Sylvester Stallone and Rocky Balboa is not going to do anything with my nasal passages. Absolutely, you're a snotball. You know, he's not going to do anything. But Jesus has already paid the price for me to breathe right. So I'm going to put that in so I can either sow to my flesh, which is not necessarily that being also wrong if it's going to help me fight. I get it, but it's not going to be my answer. So the enemy will try to get you. If he can just get you where you still feel good and you think you're doing something, but you're not doing the something, you've missed it. So I started doing that, and immediately I started getting better. I started listening to that, and I would hear something, and I'd pause that, and I'd say, whoo, and I'd start declaring, and I'd start making things happen. And you're saying, you started making? Yes, because my voice, my mouth activated it. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So whatever I'm sticking in myself abundantly, that's what's coming out. If I choose to put the right words in my heart, then I'm starting to change my destiny because that's the stuff that's going to come out. I like having people around me that sharpen. You know what I'm saying? Iron sharpens iron, the Bible says. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you'll just be talking and it's normal and nothing, quote, quote, wrong, but it's not speaking life. It's not speaking faith. And you have that friend that says, are you going to say that? And they say something right and you're like, ah. Yeah, I wasn't even thinking about that. Because here I would say things like this back in the day. I don't do that now, but back in the day I'd say, well, God knows my heart. This is true. That's a good statement. God knows my heart. But here's the thing. Enemy doesn't respond to just knowing your heart. He responds to words. Words of delegated authority from the Father. That's what he responds to. He doesn't like that. So if I just want to think myself, positive thinking is great, but you better put some positive God-believing words with that positive thinking. Get that thing out there and say, all right, God, let's do this. You said it, it's done, and begin to settle things with what God has told you. That's your first step. When we start choosing our words, and that's going to be step two, you're in charge. We'll start changing our destiny. We'll start changing our future. We're speaking to our future. You're in charge. Choose what you say. Speak the right words. 11:23 of Mark. Tell you the truth, when Jesus says stuff like that, you better mark it down. I tell you the truth, you can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. You see, you can't just speak empty words and expect something to happen. Some people think that's true. That's not true. Your words must be filled with faith. We've all lived enough of speaking words that nothing happened. The way you get faith in your heart is listening and meditating on the word of God and hearing it. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. Now, God gave you the measure of faith. So, man, I want to activate that. That's what's coming out of my mouth, what I've put in my heart. Matthew 12:34-35 says, brood of vipers, how can you being well speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. So even when we know the truth, we have to speak. Sometimes we just don't want to say anything because we don't want to rock the boat. No, rock the boat, baby. At least I'm not singing the whole song, so be happy. So choosing those words sometimes to say the thing that you need to say is sometimes hard. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it's better that you don't say it. You just show it if somebody else needs, or you can tell that person and you're already saying it for yourself. But I have people that will ask me, okay, I'll give you another reason or an explanation. Have you ever, like when I lost a whole bunch of weight, people would come up and say, how'd you do it? Sometimes I would just mess with them and say, I quit eating. And they would just look at you like. And then, you know, and you don't say anything else. They're like, no, duh. It's almost like, where'd you get those fish? In the water. Or go to the doctor. And the doctor tells you, you're sick. $75, please. That's why I came here, doctor. But what you say, sometimes it's hard to say the right thing. You know, the other day I told you a story when I went to see my mom at Winmore. And one of her friends was there, and I walked by, and I said hi to her, and the first thing out of her mouth was, did you gain weight? There's a lot of things came in my mind to say. But I didn't. I answered her. I said, yes, ma'am, I did. And she's like, basically, well, I can tell. You know, and I said, but I'm going to be taking it off. Well, good for you. And I just kept on walking. Now, I said all that just to tell you part of, you know, I get things just like you get things. But that wanted to haunt me all day. And it kind of did, because I told my sister about it. And I told my wife about it. And my wife was saying just what my sister was. Don't let that bother you. You don't need to let that. That woman doesn't know you. You know, she's just, I mean, enemy can use anybody, can he? I mean, if they allow him. I'm not saying he can't just willingly use anybody. But still, I had to choose. I could have said to her, why, no. I'm as lean as I've ever been. That would have been a bald-faced lie. So I couldn't do that. I could have not answered her. But you know what? It was kind of a wake-up call to me. I mean, because life just kind of, you know, just kind of keeps just taking you, and you know, and it's, but I'm like, and this is what God had said to me, in 2025, if you're going to light it up, I need you. And so I got to get myself in better condition to be able to do what he's called me to do. So those are, you know, I'm not going through all my goals for 2025, but I am just telling you, you know, words. Sometimes they can be difficult to speak, even those words that you need. I could have not said anything. I could have just smiled and said, you're so sweet. But she wasn't, so that'd been a lie. So I just responded like, okay, well, she's telling me the truth. So, you know, put that in your smipe and poke it. You know, I don't know. Pipe and smile. Okay. Anyway, Jerry Savelle, you remember Dr. Jerry had been with us a couple times. Now he's with Jesus. But he used to compare words like to paddling upstream. The whole world is going in one direction, he says. It's drifting downstream in a negative direction. People are sick and broke and eventually die. He said you have to build yourself a spiritual canoe with God's word and grab your faith oars and get yourself turned around and start rowing the other way. In my mind, I just picture that, and I'm like, I had to put that in there. I'm like, that is so good. But you will have what you say. If you look out and you're like, I don't like where I'm at right now, it's because of what you've said at this point. Now, the good news is that it can get better, but we have to change what we say and believe what we're speaking. Amen? Words have authority to create every time we speak. Charles Capps was another minister that was known for healing scriptures and things like the Word of God, where he wrote a book on healing and all that. And this is what he says the Lord told him. I've told my people they can have what they say, and they are saying what they have. Think about that. You can have what you say, or you can just say what you have. I want to start today by saying what I want. Now, I'm not talking about name it and claim it and blab it and grab it. I'm just talking about I want good health. I want to be able to bless people. I want to be able to do what God has called me to do. I want God in every situation, whatever I'm facing. I want God to be number one in my life. How do I get that? I have to start speaking it. I have to start believing it. But just because you say it doesn't make it unless you get it inside. Because the Bible is just words on a page unless you believe it. Speaking the right words by choice, making everything I say agree with what the word says, brings God's wonderful future and destiny for me into perspective and starts changing my life. And that's what we're doing. God, what do you say about this? That's the plumb line that snapped. You know, we just went through an election not too long ago this year, and you have Republicans and Democrats and independent. Everybody's got this view. What's God say? That's the plumb line I want. And so just snap that line. God, what do you say? If that's what you say, I'm good. Then I'm going to do that. Here's step number three. So don't change your confession. No flip-flopping allowed. Years ago, my sister and I, we've always been close. We were on vacation in Michigan. And she would bet me to do things because I would be just goofy enough to do them. And we were out there, and there would be people on these nice boats and stuff. We had a little rowboat, and Dad put his 5.5 Johnson horsepower on the back of that. And she said, I'll give you a quarter if you act like a swan. Now, this is what's going through my mind. I didn't know anything about the Bible other than I'd have dreams about Jesus when I was little. But I thought to myself, a quarter, what could that get me at the store? Because we're on vacation, and there ain't no way Dad's coughing up money to buy me extra candy. So she's like, and I'd up the ante. Well, I'd do it for this, or she'd have me do it a couple times, and that would be 50 cents. You know, whatever. And I could, back in that day, 50 cents would easily buy you one or two candy bars. You know, and so she'd be just waiting, because she's sitting back there. She'd know I'd do it. So I'd stand up in that boat, and that boat come by, and I'd go, start acting. Acting like a swan. She would be cracking up, but she'd almost be embarrassed because they're all looking, look at that boy, what's the matter with him? And I'd be like, I'm done, give me my 50 cents. Brett, what are you telling me that for? I'm just saying, once I said I was going to do it, my word was yes. If I wanted that money, I was going to do it. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. I mean, if God said it, then don't flip-flop. Just do what he says. If you make the confession, stick with it. Don't go back and forth. James 1, 6 and 7, let him ask in faith, not doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven, tossed by the wind, for let not that man suppose that he'll receive anything from the Lord. Make a decision that if it's about your faith, I'm not going to change my mind. I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. How many remember that song? That's just basically saying, this is what I'm doing. This is what he said. I have people that have told me all through this start of this church, you can't. I had the Assemblies of God when I was ordained in there, and we left in a good way. And they said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to start a church. They said, have you ever started a church? I said, no, sir. And they had a board of people. They said, well, how are you going to do it? I said, I don't know, but I'll find out. They said, well, what are you going to do in the meantime? I said, well, there is no meantime. I'm going to start a church. How are you going to live? I said, God will take care of me. They laughed in my face. I could have just told them this, and I didn't use these words. I mean, they were nice, but I said, you wait and see. If I was doing it now, I'd say hide and watch. And we started this church. I never, outside of helping pastor on his Forward Financial Group, I never did anything else unless, you know, I didn't have another job. God supernaturally supplied. Money came in. He did this. He did that. You know why? I'll tell you why. Because I spoke words of faith. He put them in me. I studied his word, and then I stepped out of the boat. This is what we have. We have people that are awesome people, but they won't get out of the boat. It's too safe in the boat. I understand the boat in there. I get it. But God is calling some of us to say, it's time to step out on the water. Peter said, Jesus, if that's you, tell me to come. And Jesus said, come on. It's time that we started saying, okay, I'm done holding God back. I'm done having a poverty mindset because I've had one. You know, this is, because people, when it comes to like TLC, you see, I had to sign for this building. And that's not your fault. It's nobody's fault. I mean, but that's how that happens. Somebody has to sign to make this payment. So I do. I mean, we do. But what I'm saying is, I've had people come up to me and go, oh, wow, Did you see attendance today? Or wow, did you see this is what's coming? Da, 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 da. I can't get my head wrapped around that because I've done that before. That is miserable. And for me, I've cleaned out our account on different occasions just to make things happen because that's what needed to be done. But God always supplied me past. Church didn't know that. What I'm trying to tell you is, if he called you, he'll equip you. He'll provide for you. I am done fighting the battle of what are we going to do? This is his church. What's he going to do? I'm going to rest and rely on him. I'm going to let my words stand on the word of God and do what he's called me to do. The details aren't my concern. That's his. I'm not going to change my confession. It is going to require that I cast down thoughts that don't line up with what we're believing. 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down arguments, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Satan has that tactic, if I can just get their mind on something else, if I can get them to doubt the word of God. He wants to trick you into saying something that doesn't line up what you're believing. He wants you to go by your natural senses, what you see, not what the word says. James 4:7, humble yourselves before God, resist the devil and he'll flee. You have to resist his thoughts and suggestions. I don't want to go back and forth. I just want to be strong. Because you know what? If we waver, we don't receive. And I can tell you so many times, I'm like, why didn't this happen? Because I wavered. Because I really didn't believe it. Inside, I mean, I said I do. I'm kind of like the cowardly lion at times back in the day. Oh, I do. But I really didn't believe it, and so things didn't happen. And so then what happens in the world system when it doesn't happen? We come up with another doctrine, another something. Well, it's got to be, and we blame God, but we don't want to blame ourselves. The fault was in me. See, with my words, I either resist or I comply with Satan's demands. Those are my choices. Either resist or comply with what he demands. And with my words, I either resist or comply with what God's word says. Wow. So it's my choice. I'm in charge. That's my decision. What does God say? And that's what I do. Is that always the easiest? A lot of times it's not the easiest at all. But it's the most beneficial. Because he's looking for people that will just believe him and the words he's spoken. I have people that will tell me this. They'll say, I can't hear God. I don't know what he's saying. I can't listen. I mean, how do you hear his voice? We don't have any problem hearing the enemy, do we? You know why we don't hear God? We don't expect to hear God. I'm going to ask him. He probably won't talk to me. That's almost inside of us. But what if you expected to hear him? God, show me what to do. And then have people say, well, I saw this scripture. This kept coming back to me. But I don't know what I don't know what God wants me to do. This is God. This is his word. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. What does his word say to do? You cannot go wrong by doing what his word says to do. It's your choice. But Brett, my head is constantly fighting with, it's like the angel and the devil. So what do? I told you these three things, so I'll quickly just tell you these. And they work. If you do this, works every time. Every time. Why? Because it's his word. Every time. If you're being battled by thoughts and it's just, what do I do? Here's number one. You address the thought and break it and bind it. And I would speak out loud. I would address it. If you have so-and-so's this, I'll probably get that. Then address that. You'll probably get this. No, in Jesus' name, I won't get that. I break that in the name of Jesus. And then, number two, I use the word to fight it, and I speak that word out loud. The Bible says, it can't come near my dwelling, according to the word of God. That can't come near me. God is greater in me than he that's in the world. And I began to quote that. And here's number three, then I praise. Thank you, Father, for it's done. Thank you, God, it's done. And I'm telling you, you will feel whatever that spirit is, you'll feel it lift immediately. I've had people tell me this, but it just comes back. I mean, I'm telling you, there's times I had to do it, I don't know how many times in a day. And the next day, I didn't do it as many. And the day after that was not as many as that time. Pretty soon, I didn't have to do that hardly at all. But anything that's coming up, you go after it with the word of God. I can't make this more clear. If the enemy wants to fight you, then take the word to him and bring it. He doesn't fight fair. There's nothing that can trump the word of God. And the thing that he doesn't want you to do is know the word. Because if you know the truth, it will set you what? Free. I don't know about you, but I want to be free. I don't want to be tormented and just messed up in my mind of this and that and the other. Whatever you're dealing with, then call it. Call what you don't see to what's supposed to be. You will see God and your destiny start unfolding before your eyes. It lies in your mouth and in your heart. Your words are setting your future, your destiny. You're putting things in motion. Don't speak doubt-filled, fear-filled. Don't speak that. Even things that you've heard growing up, familiar sayings or phrases. Fill your heart with the word of God. Speak out in faith. Speak out the end result, what you're believing for. I just did this the other day, and I wasn't doing this. I mean, ever did like sometimes you do it and sometimes you don't? Of course, I have the word police that is with me most of the time. And I was saying this. And again, maybe you should try. And I'm like, ever sometime, I mean, I even stopped and said, I don't want you to correct me. I don't want you to say anything right now. Because sometimes, you don't. You know, I was just like, I want to get that off my chest. But that's not right. God gave me a spirit of self-control. She is trying to help me exercise it. And so I stopped and I had to, now then I had to do this. I had to do repair stuff. Father, I just break what I just said. I'm sorry. So this is what I'm telling you. Start speaking what you're believing for, not what you're seeing. Does that make sense? I'm going to believe for this. If you have somebody that's estranged from your family, you're going to believe. You start seeing them, Father, I thank you that you're going to bring them back. I give you praise. And I'm going to find some word that I can speak with that. And every time the enemy throws that thought, I'm going to bind it. No, I don't bind that. My family's coming back. They're following you. It's going to be awesome. And here's the word, blah, blah, blah. And then I'm going to praise God and watch that thing. It'll just lift. You'll feel the peace of God come on you. And you'll do that every time. And pretty soon he's going to be like, stop doing that. And you're going to do it every time. And he's going to be like, I'm not messing with you anymore. Least about that, he'll find something else he'll try to mess with you. And you do the same thing. You start saying, okay, I break that in Jesus' name. I have that thought. Nope, I'm not doing this. I'm doing this. According to your word, this says this. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And I begin to say that, and then I don't do that, but I mean, I just praise. And you can literally, and I'm not saying, we're not supposed to go by our feelings, but I'm telling you right here and right now, you will feel the spirit lift off you that was messing with you. Not God's spirit. He's always with you. Your spirit is connected to his. That's not going anyplace. He'll never leave you or forsake you. Now, the enemy will tell you he's left. He hasn't left. The enemy's just stupid. He wants you to believe that. He'll deceive you to believe that. Because he'll want you to, well, you don't feel him, do you? You haven't heard him, have you? Those are the five sense realms. He's always going to mess with you in those realms. God is past those realms. We don't operate by those realms. I mean, we walk and we live in those now. But listen, one day we'll be able to pass through walls and everything. That's how quiet it is. Really? Yeah, because we... Let me see, right now, even I'm talking to you, you are one-third wall-to-wall Holy Ghost. You can just listen to the Lord. And the enemy can lie to you, and then you break that. You bind it and say it out loud. I break that in Jesus' name. And then you get a scripture that, you know, if it's a bad thought or something like that, then Philippians 4:8 it. No, that's not. I break that in Jesus' name. Philippians 4:8 says, you know what? Other things are good, pure, holy, of good report. I will think on these things. And then say, Father, I just thank you that my mind is sanctified. God will give you glory. And pretty soon the enemy's going to be like, don't do that to him because he goes into a praise thing. You have to start understanding to start speaking your future. I don't have two nickels to rub together. Is that what you want? You know what I write on a tablet almost every day? That I'm a multimillionaire. I am not by the natural standards, but one day I will be. How is that going to happen? I don't know. That's God's job. But I mean, you know why? Because I want to finance the kingdom. I want to be able to bless people. I want to be able to do things. I want to be able to whatever, whether we help orphanages or whatever. Not just, I'm not moving again. I don't want a bigger house. I'm not moving again. Ever. I don't want a bigger house. I don't, you know, I'm just saying, but I want to be able to say if God says, I want you to do that. What if God told you to do something and you're like, I just want to do it. But you can't. Why? Because I've limited myself in thinking. I've had him before where he has said, I want you to go over and see that person. I want you to go write him a check, give him $500. My checkbook at that point might have had $502. I'm like, I don't want to write that check. And I would fight him on it. You surely don't mean that. Because then the enemy comes in and goes, oh, God wouldn't want you to be so strapped. He wouldn't want to put extra stress on you. He wouldn't blah, 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 blah. And he'll just go on and on. Because you see, if you have to go by natural looks, in the natural, that's probably not smart. But although when he's told me, I need you to go give this person, I need you to do that, I need you to take this. And please understand, I'm telling you things not to say, look at me. That's not my goal. I'm telling you things to say either if I've done stupid things, which I've done plenty of those, don't do what I did. But there are other parts of that or where he's told me something like, write out that check for 15, not 1,500. And, inside I'm like, whew. But we did. Why? Because he told me to. And then things just, he just starts saying, here and here and here. And do this and do that. And blessing would just come because everything, listen, just like words, seed time and harvest, sowing and reaping. He has a great future for 2025. But the only way we're going to discover it is if we make up our mind and our heart to choose our words and speak our future. I challenge you today. I don't know what you've been saying. I'm not saying anybody's saying anything bad, but if you've been like me, sometimes I've been around like a pinball machine. I'm good, I'm bad, I'm good, I'm bad, I'm God. I'm going to give. No, I'm not. Yeah, I am. Nope. Mm-mm. What if we just stuck to our guns? Father, this isn't mine, this is yours. I just believe you because that's what you say. And that's good enough for me. You know, God's looking for people that will take him at his word, literally. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes?